worship this morning. Well, we've had some unseasonably warm weather this past week. We got a little bit of dusting on the ground right now, but it looks like we're going to have some more of it this coming week. Will we have a white Christmas, I wonder? Hopefully so. But anyway, we'll certainly enjoy it while it lasts, for sure. Hope you all had a good week and that you're happy to be worshiping with us today. By way of announcements, we're happy to have Roger Johnson and his wife Gloria with us again today. They'll be sharing with us later. We're looking forward to celebrating our annual Christmas smorgasbord again on December 15th. Kristen Carlsgaard, who grew up in this church, and her family will be presenting the program. I'll refer you to the details that you have in your bulletin. Note that signing up for the dinner ends today. The Christmas Day service announced in the paper yesterday is incorrect, in that Christmas Day service should be Christmas Eve Day and not Christmas Day on Monday. So both services are on the same day, Christmas Eve, 9:30 and 4:30 p.m. The church council meets again on Wednesday at 6:30. After we have coffee and conversation this morning, we'll continue the Andy Stanley series, DVD series, on Who Needs Christmas. Would you stand with me now and read responsively our call to worship? Let us hear what God the Lord will speak. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him.
That his glory may dwell in their land.
Remain standing and turn to hymn number 184, God's Love Made Visible. Heavenly Father, during this Advent season, we seek to draw closer to you. As we anticipate the celebration of Jesus' birth, we long for a deeper connection with you. Open our hearts to your presence, and may our lives reflect your love and grace. Help us find peace and joy in your abiding presence as we worship together today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Microphone.
Mark 1, 1 through 5, 7 and 8 says, "This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, 'Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.' This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. John announced, 'Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to stoop down and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'"
The second Advent candle symbolizes preparation and waiting. We light this candle to remind us of how the way was prepared for Jesus' coming. We hope that as Advent light increases, our own readiness may also increase. Let's pray. O God of the prophets, in the wilderness of Jordan you sent a messenger to prepare people's hearts for the coming of your Son. Help us to hear the good news, to be truly repentant or sorry for our sins, and to be ready to welcome the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, into our lives. In his name, amen.
Our first reading is from 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 15, page 926 on your pew Bible. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dearest brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. And our next reading is what Heather already read for us, but it probably bears repeating, and it's about, it's Mark 1, verses 1 through 8 on page 764 of the Pew Bible, and it's about John the Baptist. In the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, and confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
At this time, I'll ask our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. My gracious Heavenly Father, we pause today and thank you for your abundant love for us. We thank you for the food, friends, and family who celebrate with us today. Help us remember to be obedient to your direction and generous with what you have provided us to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in a season when every heart should be happy and light, many of us are struggling with the heaviness of life, burdens that steal the joy right out of our stockings. Our fears whisper, "Be afraid." We need your peace, Jesus. We confess that our hearts are too often filled with wonder of a different kind, wondering when the bills will be paid, when the terror in the world will stop, when rest will come. Will it ever come? In a world where worry, not peace, prevails, stir up that good news again. This Advent, make it real in our hearts. Never have we needed your joy and peace more than now. We not only need your joy and peace, we crave it. Thank you for the gift of Jesus, our Emmanuel, the Word made flesh. You promise rest for the weary, peace for the anxious, and acceptance for the brokenhearted, not just at Advent, but the rest of the year as well. Your name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know that peace can only come in our hearts, find peace with you. You are still our joy. You are still our peace. You are no longer a babe in a manger. You are Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we celebrate you today as our Lord. We pray for those among us today that carry heavy burdens of grief, illness, and or brokenness. May your presence bring comfort to their souls. We pray for our service personnel, Sarah Skogman, Grace Koski, and Brandon Max, that in their service they'll be able to support their mission dutifully and bring glory to your name. And also for the safety of our local police, fire, and government personnel as they serve our community. We lift up our missionaries, Julio and Katie Aizaza, and their two sons, serving the covenant in Colombia. Bless their family and their ministry endeavors. Keep them safe and in good health. We pray for our country's leaders in all spheres of the political arena. Clear away the divisiveness that infiltrates all levels of government these days. In the midst of all of our own political chaos, the wars in Israel, Gaza Strip, and Ukraine rage on with seemingly no end in sight. We pray for peace in Israel and Ukraine. Lord, we grieve for those that have lost loved ones that are suffering from injuries and loss wherever they may be. We pray for the eventual release of all the hostages and their protection from harm. We earnestly pray for an end to the wars. We continue to pray for specific direction with regard to a permanent pastor for our church. We realize that it is a specific calling and trust that you know the one you feel is best suited to shepherd us in the future. Keep us from getting discouraged as we want to rely on your timing. As Roger shares with us today, I pray that we would set aside whatever distractions or concerns we've carried in here with us today and let us listen and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. We pray your blessing on Roger as he shares from your word with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before Roger comes, let's turn to number 363 and sing Shine on Me. Roger, your pastor, Dan Erickson, told me recently that you either are or soon to be 95. Retirement must not be a word in your vocabulary. Well, we're grateful that God continues to give you the desire to preach the word. So come and share with us.
Yeah, I did. I've calculated that number many times, and every time it comes up to the same thing, 95. And I would not think I would be standing here today, but I'm thankful that I can be. And it was December 8th, just the other day, and we celebrated a little bit for that. We're kind of saving it. My son is in Texas, so he'll be up for Christmas, which he comes every year and every summer. And then we'll celebrate together as a family. But this is a joy for me because I'm with believers. I trust you're all believers. If you aren't, maybe by the end of the message, you will be. But it's a joy to fellowship together. And my message today is talking about the light of the world. And you're very festive here. You've got things decorated very nicely. And it's an encouragement to me to see that as well. And also, the Advent candles. I think we moved 1 week ahead of you, but it doesn't make any difference. It's about Advent, and that's the important thing, that we do celebrate it at this time of the year. So here we are in the Advent season, and the display of light is very evident. Homes, businesses, decorated candles and lights to celebrate the Christmas season. So today our message is about light, which is essential for our very existence. And in education, it's a main unit in the study of physics. The Bible also considers very important in the creation story recorded in the book of Genesis. The sun and moon were put into orbit on the fourth day. So the subject of light, it's very important. And the scripture says, God is light, and in him is no darkness, which comes from John 1:5. So light is essential for our very being, and today we'll refer to a very small part of this complex subject. Light represents what is good, pure, true, holy, and reliable. Darkness represents what is sinful and evil. The statement, God is light, means God is holy and true, and that he alone can guide us out of our darkness of sin. Even the Congress of the United States felt it was important to address this subject, so they passed legislation to save light. It was a Daylight Saving Act. It's almost funny thinking that we can save light by legislation. In years back, lighthouses were used to guide ships. Light is still used today in many ways. Lighthouses, distances are measured utilizing the speed of light. Laser beams are used in various construction projects. And even in mineral identification, by burning a sample, you can determine what the metal is by its wavelength, the light. We like to observe the northern lights or bonfires where we have fun watching and maybe roasting marshmallows or hot dogs. Maybe some of you have visited an underground mine or cave, and you saw the utter darkness when the lights are turned off. But there are biblical stories that refer to light. And the first one we're talking about is the rainbow. Remember when Noah built the ark under God's commands? Well, we don't remember by remembrance. We remember it by reading in God's word. And God brought judgment on the earth because of their wickedness. But Noah faithfully followed the instructions in building that ark. Following that worldwide flood, God brought Noah and his family out of the ark and made a promise to Noah. He put the rainbow in the sky as a reminder of it. And we read that in Genesis 9:12-15. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. This is also a covenant for us, and it's a reminder. So when you look at the rainbow and observe its beauty, just remember the promise that God's covenant goes with it. Noah listened to God's instructions, obeyed even though the people around were mocking him. For a perspective on the size of this ark, you can look at the tugboat, not the tugboat, the oarboat in Duluth, the General Irwin. That's almost the size of the ark. But there's built an ark in Kentucky, at Covington, Kentucky, the actual size. And we were out there and visited. If you haven't, it'd be a good thing to visit. And they duplicated from the scripture the measurements. And what amazed me was, because some people questioned whether they could put all those animals in the ark. But somebody did a computer study, they had no trouble. But when you looked at it, saw all the pens and everything, the means of collecting water and had food and things, it's just amazing how God gave the instructions and Noah obeyed them. So that's a positive thing. What a spectacular thing this must have been for Noah and his family. See this colorful miracle of God in the heavens. God's used light to make this rainbow. What is it? It's the result of white light reflected and refracted through raindrops, revealing the colors from red to blue. You've all seen one. It's a visible promise from God to Noah and even to us. But you know, the first satisfactory explanation of the rainbow wasn't published until the early 1600s by René Descartes, a French philosopher and mathematician. Apparently he had not read the scriptures before that. Now, we also read about a cloud of light. And God used this large cloud of light to lead his people when they escaped Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt. And he continued to use the cloud through all their travels in the desert. In Exodus 13:20-22, we read, after leaving Succoth, they, being Moses and the Israelites, camped at Ethan on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day and night. God used light to lead his people and guide them through unknown and dangerous places. This was the start of the Israelites' journey, and it was a visible promise from God as to where they were to go. Light is not only important to our lives, but God uses it in unusual ways to care for his people. Now, how about the Bethlehem light? God used this spectacular light again to announce the birth of his son, who would be our Redeemer. Matthew 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And in Matthew 7:11, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make a careful search of the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. That was a lie. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him, not Mary and Joseph, they presented Jesus, with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is a familiar story for most of us, but full of interesting details of what took place. God used light to make this birth announcement and guide the Magi to the exact location. Now, the Bible refers to lights in other ways than physical light, of a cloud or a star or a rainbow. The Gospel of John refers to Jesus as the light. This morning we've talked about different kinds of light, but the most important light is Jesus. And John writes about this in John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. So to clarify this, we read a little further in verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. These verses are about Jesus. In verse 9 we read, the true light was coming into the world. If there's a true light, does that indicate there's a light that's not true? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11:40 says, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. He is not the true light. Satan tries to deceive people to think he is the one who knows the right way. Remember how he tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness? Jesus' defense was the Word of God, which is the same defense that we can use. In this first chapter, John, we have a clear picture of who Jesus is. He is God, he is creator, he is life, and the true light. How thankful we can be to have that assurance of who Jesus is and who we can trust and follow. Let's read these verses about Jesus, the true light. John 1, 9 through 14. The true light, the implication that all lights are not true, that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This identifies who Jesus is, and the one who has authority to give us the right to become children of God. And Jesus' own statement in John 8:12 is, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is a promise from Jesus to us if we believe and follow him. You know what else it also it reveals? If you ever look up the definition for darkness, it's the absence of light. So that's also the definition for here. So we as Jesus' followers are reflectors of his light. If he is the light, how can we be the light? How does that work? Well, back to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory of God in the face of Christ. So God, who made the light in creation, is also able to give us the miracle of giving us life forever and giving us light to shine for him. Like the miracle of creation, it is a miracle for us to be the light of the world. The only way we can shine is if God has made us his child and put his light within us. The Bible is clear. Jesus is the light of the world. He is God's son. He died in our place on the cross, shedding his blood as an atonement for our sin, and arose again, thus conquering death. This is the gospel message for us. It is our responsibility to trust Christ as our Savior. Jesus has done everything for us, and there's nothing we can do to add to his sacrifice. It is God's gift to whosoever will. We can choose to follow the devil in his darkness, as Paul describes him as masquerading as an angel of light, or to follow Christ in his light. The invitation is for us to accept him and follow his light. We are not the light, but the reflection of his light. He gives us light to shine. Isn't that a good thing? How dismal our kind of light would be. His light is true and right. And Jesus taught Nicodemus about this light in John 3:19. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. As we celebrate Jesus' victory over death, we can keep rejoicing that John 3:16 is still relevant. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Praise God. He is the only one who can put light in our lives and gives us the power to shine for him. We can show God's love to our world and reflect him. In Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus tells us, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You probably remember as a child singing that chorus, you know, "This is the light of mine, let it shine, put it under a bushel, no?" And we're glad that even as a child, you can learn the truth concerning light. The encouraging thing to us is we can all be reflectors, but we need to be willing reflectors, willing to let God use us in his way. It's not our great talents or projects. It's only God and about God. We aren't reflecting our message. We're reflecting his message, God's good news. When we think of all he did to redeem us, we need to be willing reflectors, willing to share with others what we believe. It is his message, his good news, all about him and his redeeming life. It's not about us, so we should take the attention off ourselves and focus on God. It's all about him and his redeeming love. This frees us and encourages us to be more willing to try and help when needed, or respond when we sense God speaking to us to reach out in new ways to serve him. God helps us when he calls us to shine our light. We don't have to rely on our own. And this is significant. His Holy Spirit gives us strength to do it, and his word guides us. And we receive the Holy Spirit on conversion. It's a gift as well as salvation. In Psalm 119:105, familiar verse, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." This is a promise from God, that we have God's word, which enables us to be equipped to share the true light with others. However, we need to read and study it so we can share it. There's a story about a man who did shine for his light. There were a group of salesmen in the Chicago area at a regional sales conference. They had assured their wives they would be back Friday night for dinner, plenty of time. In their rush, though, to get to the airport, they kicked over a table that had some apples on it, and the apple just flew all around, everywhere. So the guy kept going, except for one. He stopped and said, "Call my wife, you'd get back. I'll catch the next plane." So he paused and went back and took a look at this little girl had this table. 16-year-old girl was blind, and she was destitute at what happened. So he got there, he knelt on the floor, he picked up, noticed that some of the apples were bruised, so he put them in another bucket, and then he set them aside. But then when he finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, take this $40 for the damage we did. Are you okay with that?" And she nodded through her tears. And he continued, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." And as he started to walk away, the bewildered girl looked at him through her tears and said, "Sir, are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride, and he wondered. Slowly made his way to the later flight, with that question burning and bouncing about his soul: "Are you Jesus?" Do people mistake us for Jesus? Does our light shine that they may see Christ through us? Our works are not important, but representing him is. And we need to realize that we are here for that purpose, to shine for Jesus in a dark world. And that's the only light that can penetrate that darkness, the love of Christ. And that's what we have in our hearts and our lives as we do that. So Paul wrote this in Ephesians 5. Though your hearts were once full of darkness, now you're full of light, life, light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. For this light from the Lord produces only what is good and right and true. Let's pray and ask God to give us light. Father, we're thankful today as we meet together with friends that we have the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds, to show us the way in which to walk. You are the light of the world, and you say we are, but we are only the reflectors. Your light is the one that is important. But that exists in our life as we have trusted you for our personal salvation. And we thank you, Father, that you can put away the light through the darkness. And there's plenty of darkness in the world today. But help us not to be overcome by that, because we still have a light to shine in this dark world. And so, Father, we pray that you bless this congregation, Father. I pray for their needs. I pray that they would receive a pastor that would be one who would share the message of the truth of the light of the Word. And we're so thankful, Father, that today in this Christmas season, we worship the true God, our Redeemer, our Savior, and the one who has prepared a place for us in heaven. And that's all possible, all because what you have done, your gift of him, Jesus, into our hearts, and the Holy Spirit into our lives, who gives us empowerment that we need not fear, because he will teach us the way in which to walk as well. So bless this time together, Father. We thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Roger, for reminding us who the true light of the world is, God's Son, Jesus. May we all be a reflection of that light, not only at this time of Christmas, but all throughout the year. In closing, let's stand and sing the hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of Light, number 367.
Thank you.
In closing, hear the words from Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's close by singing the blessing to each other.
Give you.